The following program is brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.
CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Well, I am not Mike Kessler, but welcome to Thursday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. I'm your host today with Daryl Skinner from Hawaii, Shannon Skolton. Excited to be here with everybody. We have lots to talk about. Aloha, Daryl.
Aloha, Shannon. Aloha to all the listeners out there. Great to be with you. Looking forward to another great program on To Every Man an Answer. And there's a lot of things going on in our country right now, as well as the world, and the Word of God is more alive than ever before, so it's good to be with you.
It is alive more than ever before. And you know what? Today, people need hope. It was impressed upon my heart. We're going to do this program. We're going to give some people hope. We always talk about all the things that are unraveling in the world, especially with the U.S. presidential election. But gosh, Rudy Giuliani and Cindy Paul and another lady had an amazing press conference earlier today. And, you know, they revealed a lot. And as ominous as it was, and as horrible as the things that they discovered were, there was hope. There was a glimmer of hope that the truth would be revealed and light was going to shine in darkness, and that this election possibly would have the outcome that we all have been waiting for. You know, Daryl, I was listening to Rudy Giuliani speak in regards to the voter fraud, and he laid out some pretty intense things that I think the American people need to hear. If you did not hear the Rudy Giuliani press conference, I know it's on Fox News, on YouTube. Hopefully, we'll be able to provide the link on social media for everybody listening, Facebook To Every Man an Answer, as well as our Instagram and our YouTube channel. But he talks about the voter fraud specifically in regards to the Democratic states, Pennsylvania particularly, and he made some comments that were outstanding. They had over 700,000 votes, 682,000 of those in reality were uninspected ballots, non-certifiable ballots, which blows my mind how that can even occur. Nonetheless, he stated something extremely profound, that the amount of voter fraud found in Philadelphia alone could fill an entire library. Insane. Absolutely insane.
You know, we're living in times of great corruption, and it's unfortunate that it's so deep within our own country. And you know, it's the old expression, the end justifies the means. And when the means are corrupt, you're going to have a corrupt government. We must rectify the problems with our election process. We must make sure that it's legitimate. And this is the time to do it. This election must be a marker, if you will, of this time. These elections that we have in the United States of America will no longer be corrupted. And we've got to come up with a system. And right now, President Trump and the election and all that's taking place, there's just a mountain of evidence that it's there's a ton of voter fraud. There's a ton of these algorithms that were placed into these systems that with the various voting machines and so forth, Dominion and so forth. There's a lot of allegations out there. I get it. But it's not looking good. This is not looking clean as a whistle here. And it's time to get to the bottom of all this. It's time to find out who's doing this. It's time to have people prosecuted. It's time to find out who voted for who.
Yeah.
And make sure that we have a clean election. And if Biden won, so be it. But, you know, if Trump won, so be it. We need to make sure that we are we have an absolute honest and an election full of integrity. And let's get to the bottom of all this, and let's get rid of all these false votes and the fraud and the dumping of these ballots that are all. I was reading this morning, Shannon, all the listeners. I was reading an article. It was called "Dump and Roll," and they would when everything went dark in these particular swing states, then all of a sudden there'd be like this dump of 137,000 or 100, you know, whatever it might be, thousands of votes. And then all of a sudden the algorithms would change, and whatever was counted for Biden and Trump, it would be an algorithm of 50% for Biden and 49% for Trump would be the continue. The dump was to get Biden caught up to Trump, and then you roll the algorithm where Biden's always ahead, which puts him in the lead, and he gets the most votes. So, yeah, again, it's an allegation, but we need to get to the bottom of this and find out, is this exactly what was happening? We need to, we as a country, we must have a legitimate vote and not a, be a banana republic any longer. Shannon, I'll get back to you. I was coming on a little soapbox.
No, I love it. Get on your soapbox. You know, to be honest with you, it's true. We need to get to the bottom of it. It's erroneous, the things that are happening and that we even allowed them. Like you said, we're in the 21st century. Why do we still have the voting system in place that we have now if it's so fallible? You know, why even allow absentee ballots if those were originally meant for military in general? Sorry, if you have two homes, you have one in Alaska and one in Nevada, you have to pick somewhere to go vote in person, and that's where your vote counts. I mean, I don't see that that is such a crazy statement that we can get a hold of this, but for some reason, it hasn't happened yet, and it needs to happen. You know, we were talking about earlier the recount and how all these states, Georgia, North Carolina, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Nevada, and Arizona, they want to recount. And here's the problem, as Rudy Giuliani stated, with recounts. The problem is the ballot, especially those mail-in ballots, how they're certified is the envelope. The envelope is listed with the precinct and maybe the assembly district that you're voting in, your name. All of that jargon is on the front of the ballot or the front of the envelope. You open it up, there's another envelope, and then inside that envelope is what you're casting your vote for. And when that gets opened, that envelope gets thrown away. So exactly. When you have these votes and they say, well, we need a recount, well, that doesn't even really matter because it can't be certified. If Rudy Giuliani voted 30 times, then all you're going to see is that vote. The whole system needs to be completely revamped because you can't even recount it for how we have it now. Nonetheless, there was no inspectors. They were forced out. There should be a Democratic and a Republican representee who does the inspections on these mail-in ballots. And they were forced out, specifically the Republican inspectors were forced out in these major Democratic states. So they're getting to the bottom of it. That gives us a glimmer of hope. We see on the maps, which we can't necessarily always trust the mainstream media, we know that, fake news media, but we see the maps from other people like OANN News Network and Newsy and Newsmax showing that it is dramatically a red wave, that Trump indeed should be the president of the United States coming for 2020 through 2024. And just everything that's being uncovered gives us hope because we know hope deferred doesn't do anybody any good. So we want to encourage everybody to stay positive, stay prayerful, continue to keep the president and his entire legal counsel in prayer. We know that they are facing some crazy things ahead. They're working day and night. There's many of them doing their due diligence in these states and even dealing with the Secretary of States and the governors and the people in local government who have changed laws at the last minute and tried to supersede the Supreme Court. It's all coming out, and God lets everything be revealed in his timing. So stay hopeful and know that regardless of who's in office, God sits on the throne, and that is the hope that we have as believers, that nothing will happen without his will being done. Amen. Well, let's get to the phones, Daryl. We have a couple callers here. We have Todd from Washington. Todd, hi and welcome.
Hi. Why is there, I know why there's confusion, because it's talked about in an incorrect way, but with respect to baptism, both Peter and Paul and everywhere in the Bible baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Why is there so much confusion, and why do people tell you that you can be baptized in these three titles, the title of Father, the title of Son, and the title of Holy Ghost?
Daryl, your thoughts?
Well, what we're following is what Jesus told us to do in Matthew's gospel. At the end of the gospel, he says that we're to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, because that speaks of the Trinity, of whom God is. And thus we follow what the Lord has taught us. Now, when we do baptism, Jesus says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So when we do a baptism, we baptize them representing the Father. Now we're now a child of God. We've come to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a testimony of our faith when we get baptized. And also that we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're born again. So we're displaying the work of God within our lives. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And that's when we testify, we're being baptized. It's representing the old sin nature being buried and put out of business, put to death. And you've been washed by the blood of Christ coming out of the water in the newness of life. So we see this testimony that we are performing as believers in God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the born again experience. And yes, when we baptize, hey, I always pray in the name of Jesus Christ also, because he says, if you ask anything in my name. So I always conclude all my prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. So it's not a magical formula, my friend. It's a testimony to the world that we're believers in God, our Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, as well as the work of the Holy Spirit in and through our lives. It's a testimony and not a formula that we are displaying to the whole world. This is the God that we believe in, and it is known as what we call the Trinity, three persons in one. So this is what we find as God. Does that help you out, my friend?
Well, then what you just said would there'd be a contradiction in the Bible, and there are zero contradictions in the Bible, and I know that you agree with me on that. Based on what you said, then Peter and Paul did it incorrectly.
Well, that's not a contradiction. We didn't hear the whole conversation, but or when they baptized. And so it's not a contradiction. Will we not say that Peter and Paul both believed in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? So when they're baptizing people, you're looking at this as a formula. This is a testimony. The salvation comes by giving your heart to Jesus Christ and him saving you by his atoning blood. That's where salvation is found. We go out and we testify that we've come to that salvation of which we have our God, our Heavenly Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit, who's now operating within us. It is our testimony of our faith in the God that we believe in from the Word of God as it's displayed. It's not a magical formula that brings you some sense of salvation. It's a testimony. We go out and we testify that I'm a believer in God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the work of the Holy Spirit in and through my life. And some people, they look at it as some magical formula that, oh, this is going to save you even more than what you've already been saved. No, you're completely saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Amen. And that's what God does for us. So this is where the confusion lies as people begin to add this onto a means of salvation. Baptism is. No, it's not the means of salvation. It's the means of testimony. And that's the difference. Does that help you out, Todd?
Well, I'm not saying. I'm just trying to. You're going off on some different tangents.
I'm not going off on a tangent. I'm just saying this. One would assume if Jesus said in the Gospels, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, one would assume that they did that as well as in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay? So we would say that Peter, we just don't have all the details of how they did their particular baptism. It is a summary of what they were doing in baptism. And of course, it's in Jesus' name, in Jesus Christ. And thus, we are baptized in the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We baptize that. We testify. So sometimes you say it's not a contradiction. It's just maybe it's the lack of all the detailed information, but it's not a contradiction. And again, it's not a formula for salvation. It's a testimony of our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ from our Heavenly Father through the Holy Spirit.
Correct. And if we look at Matthew 28:19, which specifically Pastor Darrell is referring to, the Great Commission, it says in verse 18 starting, "Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, even to the end." What you're specifically referring to is in Galatians 3:26, when it says, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have closed yourself with Christ." The point of baptism, as he said, is a renewal. And baptism is not a formula for salvation. It is necessary, but it's not a formula for salvation. God requires us to do it, but there are many people who don't get baptized. When Paul is speaking here specifically into being baptized into Christ, Jesus is saying in Matthew 28 how we baptize, and Paul is distinguishing what we're being baptized into. And I think that sometimes Bible versions confuse things because there's articles and definite articles that are missing or misconstrued. But the inherent word of God is very clear. There's a way that we actually baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit from Jesus himself. And Paul makes a distinguishing factor that we're being baptized into Christ Jesus. Hopefully that helps you, Todd.
Well, here's my point. And this is where it gets so confusing, because you're missing what Jesus said for us to do. He says, baptize in the name, singular, one name, not names, in the name of, comma, the Father, comma, Son, comma, Holy Ghost. One name is Jesus Christ. And you're saying baptize in these titles. I'm a father. I'm also a son. But they're not going to baptize in my name.
You want to baptize Todd, can I ask you a question? Jesus? Todd, do you believe in the Trinity?
No. It doesn't.
Okay, there's the issue. Yeah. You don't believe in the Trinity, and it's all through the Bible, from Elohim all the way through to Jesus, his own baptism. The Father spoke while Jesus was being baptized. You have the Holy Spirit descending upon him and so forth. He's ready for his public ministry. This is the real issue, and this is why you're arguing with us. You believe in a oneness doctrine, which is a false teaching, and the Bible is replete with the Trinity. Jesus is our God and Savior. We have God our Father. We have God the Holy Spirit. All three involved in our salvation, all three equal. When you study the Trinity, you find that the Father is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. He's immutable. This is his attributes. You find the same attributes in the Lord Jesus Christ. You find the same in the Holy Spirit. It is the Trinity. And what we have, three in one, and this is the working of God. This is who God is. Don't compare him to you as an individual. Okay, it's not you. This is God. This is who he is and how he has displayed himself in these three persons. We find the Father operating to bring us in as one of his children. We find the Son bringing us to be his bride. We find the Holy Spirit, who's now regenerated us by the power and the blood of Christ and the Word of God. So this is what we find. We're the bride of Christ. We have a heavenly Father, which we're a child, and we are filled with the Spirit of God, of which we're born again. And all three are working in us and through us on a daily basis. Jesus stands at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. This is what's taking place. So three persons in one, all equal. They're full of love. They're full of life. And this is what we call the doctrine Trinity. I'm giving you a brief summary of the Trinity right now, but the reason you're arguing with us, because you don't believe in the Trinity, but yet Jesus taught it. It's taught all through the scriptures. And I would encourage you to do an in-depth study on the Trinity, not just from what you've been learning about the oneness doctrine, but you need an in-depth study on the Trinity. I encourage you to do that. But don't make God yourself. You know, well, I'm a father and I'm a son and I'm this. No. This is how God has displayed himself throughout the scriptures as a Trinity, three in one. Shannon, should we
absolutely
move on?
Todd, hopefully that helps. We'll get you a couple books and DVDs and CDs maybe to help you out. We're going to go to the next caller, and that will be Will from Las Vegas. Hi and welcome.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you, Will?
I'm doing pretty good. I have a question. I was on my car radio, and I heard, I don't know if it was 3 or 4 days ago or whatever, but you were saying that coronavirus vaccine was made out of baby and tissues or formaldehyde and something. I was trying to explain that to my friend, and he said, oh, I don't believe they're making vaccine out of stuff like that. So I need some information on how that came about and where it came from and all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely, Will. You can go to the vaccine producers' websites, Pfizer and Mariel and others of the liking, whoever they might be currently making the COVID vaccine, And there is a list of ingredients, and there's a list of technology used to make the vaccine, which includes things like antigens and stabilizers in those vaccines. And in that list is that ingredient list, which will differentiate a bunch of different things for you. Now, to the modern, you know, everyday person, civilian, you're not going to necessarily know what most of those ingredients are. They're extremely long Latin medical terms and words used for other things. You can dive in deeper by getting those and maybe copying and pasting it into your browser and researching what that really means and what those are. But in those lists, it indeed will say formaldehyde. That is a stabilizing ingredient in most all vaccines, especially recombinant vaccines. The difference between this vaccine and other vaccines is the COVID-19 vaccine is an RNA vaccine, which is a lot different than maybe a modified live or just a killed vaccination like the rabies vaccine, for instance, which means RNA vaccines inherently have ingredients, and how they're made can ultimately change the DNA of the host that they're injected into. And why is that? Because they use antigens, and they use cells, and they use DNA from other animals, whether it be pig, whether it be monkey, whether it be rat. And they even can use tissues, cells, and DNA from humans. And they use aborted fetal tissue. It's not under aborted fetal tissue on the list, but if you look up, there will be different names listed there. And through your research, some of those vaccines you can actually click, and it's a hyperlink on the ingredient, and it tells you exactly what that ingredient is. And so through research, this is all public information you can find yourself. It indeed is not a conspiracy theory. You can actually go and look and research and find that. Hopefully when we come back from the other end of the break coming up soon, I might be able to give a little bit more information on where you can find that and maybe in your research on the internet. But it's not conspiracy. It's indeed true whether people want to believe it or not. You just have to be willing to look and see it. So the COVID-19 vaccine, although some people think it's great and even our president is pushing for it for the sake of humanity and building up an immune system to a vaccine that we know will forever mutate and change because it's genetically engineered, it does have risks. And those risks will eventually show themselves in the form of vaccination reactions, whether it be inflammation at the injection site, whether it be, like Mike Kessler says all the time, an oozing grievous sore, as we see later on from the Mark of the Beast in the Book of Revelation, or whether it be something else, high fever, upper respiratory infection, death, cancer, which is common as well in vaccine site reactions. So we'll hopefully get some information for you. If not, if you follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube, we should be able to get you a hyperlink or a link in our description box that you would be able to go and further your research. But it is out there and it is true. Daryl, your thoughts?
You know, I'm going to say ignorance because I have not studied the ingredients in the vaccine and what all is involved in it. So I'm going to have to do some research on my own. I don't want to talk about things that I don't know all the details.
Yes, it's very in-depth. And the only reason, Will, that I'm able to speak so confidently in regards to this is because of my history in medicine and knowing specifically what's in vaccines. There were certain vaccine companies I used at my clinics because they did not have certain preservatives like mercury in them. And through later investigation, they replaced those preservatives with things like formaldehyde. Just so people understand what formaldehyde is, it is a stabilizer that keeps essentially tissue from deteriorating and becoming necrotic. So for instance, if you go to your doctor and you get a skin tag removed or a mass removed or a cyst removed and they need to send that to a laboratory, they will take that out of you, suture you up, make you look nice and pretty, put it in a little jar that is full of formalin or formaldehyde. So hopefully that helps. If you follow us on Facebook or Instagram or YouTube with this broadcast, hopefully when it goes live, we'll have that link for you, and hopefully you'll be able to help your friend or your brother or whoever.
Is that the same thing as embalming fluid that they put in people to keep them from deteriorating?
There is different forms of embalming fluid. It is a derivative of, yes.
Okay. I hope you can get some information that I can put down too, because I'm not really computer oriented.
Yeah. Well, Will, we will do our best for you.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, let's go to Rick in El Paso, Texas. Rick, hi and welcome.
Hello. Hey, I just wanted to quickly say that guy that denies the Trinity, he should read Acts chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira. because it calls the Holy Spirit God and calls God God. So that will help him. But anyways, I'm calling in because my question is, I don't know if either of you two were listening to yesterday's show, but somebody called in, was asking a question about racism, and they said that they were a black man. Now, I'm not denying racism exists. I know it does. And my question is when and where do we finally start taking responsibility for our own actions? Or, as you guys know, the Bible tells us that there's only one race, the human race. So technically, there's no racism because we're not different races of people. But as far as ethnicities and colors go, and it's just like, as far as the black people go, it's like I don't see anybody standing up and calling out and saying, hey, you rap artists that are rapping about killing cops and doing drugs and the derogatory things that you say about women, and all you black members who want to be gangbangers with your pants hanging down below your butt, and you got to walk around with one hand holding your pants up and stuff. Maybe you guys are not helping the situation and causing people to go, geez, I know not all black people are like that. There's plenty of, you know, African Americans and black people who are millionaires from sports and movie stars and stuff. And I know that there was at least two big name people that tried speaking out on that and saying something. Bill Cosby, who's no longer a really good authority to do that with all of his trouble, and Denzel Washington. But I also want to say, and I'll use myself as an example, I've experienced racism plenty of times. To describe myself, I'm like an old school biker. I've got tattoos from my elbows, from my shoulders down to my wrists on both arms. I've got a bushy biker beard that's unkempt. I don't shave. I wear a bandana. And the two biggest questions I'm always asked by complete random strangers is, do I ride a bike and do I play in a band? I'm currently working construction. I kid you not, one of my bosses came up to me and said, this is no joke. So many people here are intimidated and scared of you just based off of your looks. They asked me, did Rick ever spend time in prison?
Well, Rick, we're going to go to a break right now, and we will make sure that, and when we come back from this break, that we speak about what you're talking about, answer your question, hopefully give some clarity to the listeners on everything that you're talking about. We'll be back right after this.
CSN is like a part of the family. We can sit with you in your living room, cook with you in your kitchen, and travel with you in your car, offering encouragement and hope all along the way. Please let us know when you have comments or prayer requests. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact CSN at csnradio.com or call us at 800-357-4226.
You have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy, Psalm 61:3. CSN International has hundreds of stations across the nation, and each one requires a tower to broadcast from. We choose to use these towers to spread the word of God, the gospel, salvation through Jesus Christ. CSN needs your help. That's why we started Tower Keepers. It's a donation program from CSN offering you a chance to support your local station and keep it on the air. A monthly donation of whatever you can give allows CSN to continue to be the network where God's word is heard. You can join Tower Keepers. Give us a call at 1-800-357-4226 or send your donation to CSN Tower Keepers, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. For more information, you can log online to csnradio.com.
CSN, the Christian Satellite Network, is broadcast on hundreds of stations nationwide, including over 60 in California alone. You can listen in great cities like Bakersfield, Sacramento, San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara, Yucca Valley, and many more stations throughout California and the nation. A full station list is available through csnradio.com. You're listening to CSN International, where God's word is heard.
Glory to God. Expressions of worship from believers all across the world. CSN.
Hi, Hi, and welcome back to Thursday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. I'm your host today, Shannon Skolton, with Daryl Skinner from Hawaii. We had a caller on the line, Rick from El Paso, Texas, who had some questions in regards to us perpetuating racial issues. And Daryl, I'm going to let you take it from the top on his question.
Yeah, you know, Rick, unfortunately, the situation of racism is very strong, not only here, but it's across the whole world. And this is why the Lord Jesus has called us, as you know, to love your neighbor as yourself. This is the second commandment of the two commandments that we're to do. No matter the race, no matter the hair color, no matter from their, wherever they're from in the world, it makes no difference. We just need to love each other. You know, I've come across all kinds of people in my life of all races, from a biker background like yourself, you know. And yeah, at first you can get a little thrown off, but you know what? When you see the joy and the happiness and the humility and love coming out of somebody's heart, whatever fears others may have about that individual or myself, whoever it might be, they just fade, you know. And unfortunately, there's a narrative being spoken across our country, and I believe it's a real issue that we all have to confront, and that is that we would love each other for who we are. And that means all races, because the enemy will stir the pot. He wants to stir the fire. He wants to make us hateful and angry towards each other. And we always, you know, people can have an idea that, you know, I deserve more and you owe me and all these things go on. It's, you know, I've heard white privilege thrown around and all this stuff. And you know what? Every race goes through its issues. And we will rectify and remedy them to the best of our ability, but we can't keep clubbing each other over the head for 1865, you know, the Civil War. Yes, there was segregation. Yes. Let's rectify all these issues and do our best to make sure these things never happen again. Let's be a country that is united in peace and love, but we can't go out and keep committing, whether it be crimes by whites, crimes by blacks, crimes by Hispanics, burning down cities and, mobs and police cars burning and all these things. That's not going to remedy our problems. That just exacerbates our problems. And this is why we as Christians across this country and across this world, we're going to do our very best to make sure that we're all inclusive in the love of God. And we're going to reach all people through the love of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So that's the way I see it, you know, and there's a lot of brainwashing going on right now to stir hate through our media. And, you know, I believe it's also through the Democratic Party. And I'm not saying the Republican Party is anywhere perfect, but, you know, it just seems like there's this constant stirring and there's a lack of law and order. And hey, if there's corruption in police departments or racism, whatever it is, we need to fix it. Let's get it all fixed. Okay. And across this country. But what comes out of the heart is who we really are. And that's what Jesus wants to deal with. So right. I don't know, Rick, I don't know if that helps or that's the way I see it from the love of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. You know, Rick, Daryl's completely correct. And I understand that sometimes that we confuse racism with profiling or maybe prejudiceness. And a lot of what you said specifically has a lot to do with all of those issues. That sometimes, yeah, we culturally perpetuate our own problems. And this is true for any culture, whether you're white or black or Native American or whatever. There is an issue with us living in our own sin and living in the way that we might have always made excuses from a cultural aspect in our life, from our genealogy or our family. And that causes a lot of tension and division and derision between people. But ultimately, you're right. We are one human race. And that's it. We are bound by ethnicity, and race is a social construct. And that's been proven, and we understand that. We do need to stop perpetuating hate and race issues. We do need to start not making it an issue. As you said, Denzel Washington and Morgan Freeman stands up and says, I don't look at you as a white woman. I look at you as a woman. I don't want you to look at me as a black man. I'm a man. And that's true. And if we all had that thought process and we all could grasp those things, then yeah, the world would be a lot better. But the problem is sometimes we enjoy holding on to things that we can use as excuses in our life for our behaviors. We can use as excuses for us maybe not propelling in life and doing well or succeeding. We can use things as excuses for our behaviors to why maybe we don't get along with certain people or how we act at family dinners. And that comes to a personal issue, a personal inability to stop making excuses for our behavior and heal and move on and allow God to do what he truly wants to do in the fullness of our lives. And so, yes, people do need to take personal responsibility. Will race baiting and race perpetuation stop? Probably not. But ultimately, if we all take personal accountability for our actions, and we do try to take our thoughts captive, as the Bible says, and we stop focusing on the negative, and we stop making excuses for ourselves and our problems, hopefully we'll all be able to work towards a common good for the kingdom of heaven. Hopefully that helps, Rick.
Well, I was just curious. I know there's a lot of black athletes and actors that are making millions, and they're, like you said, white privilege. They're trying to tell me I got white privilege, but yet instead of scolding me for something that I don't have and doesn't exist, why aren't they calling out their own people and saying, hey, maybe you should stop acting like this, or stop, you know, instead of putting the blame on somebody else,
you know, Rick,
point to what the real problem is.
Some people do. That Candace Owens avidly stands out against the black community holding themselves down. She's a brilliant woman. She's a writer. She's an editor. You can look her up. She goes toe-to-toe with rappers, as you mentioned, like T.I.P., or other people. And she says we cause our own problems and then we blame other people for them. So there are people who are standing up and there are people who are fighting against this kind of perpetuated behavior. So I wouldn't want to say that all people in one camp or another aren't doing what they need to do. I think they are. I think that the media also only gives a voice to the negativity, not the positivity. So again, yep. Rick, hopefully that helps. Daryl, any last thoughts?
Yeah. And one thing I want to just bring up, because it's so vitally important. When we look to this country of ours, as any country, none of them have been perfect. When in Jesus' day, there was a prejudice against the Samaritans, right? And Jesus, he bridged that gap. The other thing for us in our own country, so many of all races have given their lives for our liberty, our freedoms, our pursuit of happiness. And I think that's where we need to really culminate as a country. From the founding fathers who gave their lives and their fortunes so that we could have the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness that they've given us in the Constitution, as well as going through the wars that we've experienced as a nation, World War I, World War II, and the amount of people that gave their lives. Of all races, I think we need to applaud each other and unite with each other and not allow the media or political parties to divide us in any form or fashion. And to realize that this is a great nation, and we're constantly developing and trying. Hopefully, we're going to try to better ourselves and not devolve into chaos and anarchy and crime and so forth. You look at these United States are very large, and we get focused in on these particular cities where a lot of this is happening across this nation of 340 million people. I don't believe we're all racist. I believe there's a lot of good in our nation, and we have to keep striving to do better. So that's just a few thoughts.
Hopefully, Janet, that helps, Rick.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay,
God bless. Before we go to the next caller, we did find some information over the break in regards specifically to the aborted fetal tissue use in vaccines. And just for everyone who's listening over the radio who maybe is not following on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, if you specifically go to the U.S. National Library of Medicine and the Institute, National Institute of Health, there is a long document, very long document, with lots of research written by Kyle Christopher McKenna, Ph.D., on the use of aborted fetal tissue in vaccines for medical research and how it obscures the value of human life. And in that abstract, he discovers a lot about fetal tissue used in vaccines, talks about how the Catholic Church has come out against it and also come out against some vaccines that specifically more fetal tissue was used in than others, like the MMR vaccine. And he goes through when fetal tissue was actually introduced, what vaccines it was introduced from. As I mentioned earlier, Mariel or Merck, which are vaccine companies, specifically used aborted fetal cells. And he talks a little bit about Planned Parenthood and how Planned Parenthood was recently caught, if we all know, during the Obama administration and the beginning of the Trump administration, selling aborted fetuses for the purpose of, quote, research. And so you can go there. Again, it's the U.S. National Library of Medicine and National Institute of Health. If you type that into your Google browser, it should pop up for you. We will make sure we attempt to have this on Facebook for you probably by the end of the program and also on our other platforms. So hopefully that will shed some light for Will. I know who called earlier in regards to that, but the information should be there. So let's go to our next caller. We have Philip in Fort Worth, Texas. Hi, and welcome, Philip.
Hello. Yes, how are y'all doing? Yes, I just wanted to can y'all hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Go ahead.
Okay. No, I just real quick, I just had a prayer request, but I just wanted, if you don't mind, I wanted to make a statement just real quick, just for all callers out there. I hope you don't mind this, but please, this is like the second time or third time I've heard, you know, callers calling in to you guys and gals and just trying to challenge you. So I just to everyone out there, please be patient with the pastors, the host on this show. They're doing a great job. They're anointed. If there's something you don't understand, please stop challenging them. I mean, they're doing so much for us. And if you don't understand something, just let them explain it to you and everything will be just fine. Anyways, I just wanted to just bring that out there because you guys are just doing so great.
Well, thank you.
Anyways, I just wanted to go to, I just have a prayer request. I believe I have been a victim of identity theft. Just to go real quick into it, I thought it was a job opportunity. Everything was legit. I'm a contractor, so I'm used to just giving everything to everyone, you know, W-4, I-9, everything, background check, everything. Look, I mean, it just went over a period of over a couple of weeks, like everything was happening. And it turns out that this is not a legitimate company. They're actually trying to impersonate another company out of New Jersey in Orlando, Florida, and which is the company was actually coming out of Orlando, Florida. So if you can just please pray for me, I've done everything. I've called my bank. I've went to IUC.gov, reportfraud.gov. I've went to the credit bureaus and did a freeze and a fraudulent alert and everything like that. And at this point right now, I'm just healing from anxiety and that nothing will happen on my behalf because they have literally everything. My social security, they have bank information, everything. Of course, I've called the bank about that and we've got everything situated. But I just need prayer right now, if you will, please.
Absolutely. Daryl, you want to lead us in prayer for Philip?
Yeah, Philip, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we thank you for your great grace and love and tender mercies for each and every one of us, Lord. And as we see that the evildoers at work within our society, Lord God, we pray for Philip that your hedge of protection be about him, Lord, about his bank accounts, about his identity, about his workplace and everything that goes on, his family. And Lord, that these corrupt individuals would be found and prosecuted and put away, Lord, and they'll pay time for their crimes. And Lord God, for others, that they would also recognize if they haven't already in regards to this evil syndicate of what they're trying to do, abscond from innocent people who are working hard and doing a great job. So Lord, may your hand be upon Philip, may your hand of blessing be upon Philip, and may you just continue to guide him and use him, Lord, in exposing this corruption. We're truly called to be light in a world of darkness and expose the darkness. So, Lord, guide Philip as he continues to do this great work for his fellow man and for his family and his company. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen, Philip.
Well, God bless you, my friend.
We pray for you, and hopefully it works out. May God's hand be on you.
Amen.
Thank you all. God bless you all.
Thank you Philip.
Too.
All right, let's go ahead and go to Deborah in Boise, Idaho. Deborah, hi and welcome.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, guys. I called with a little bit of info, and then I kind of got encouraged to get on the air. So I feel kind of called to speak the truth about this topic, and that was about the vaccine stuff. You know, people get labeled real easily when they start to question things. A lot of people who've moved to places like away from California, like into Idaho, have learned that we kind of get labeled things and we have questions about ingredients. And so what happens is mothers tend to do a whole lot of research about stuff to really figure it out after they learned some hard lessons. And so that I wanted to call and talk about that AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine.
Sure.
So the question about the aborted fetal tissue, in the specific one, the AstraZeneca one, mm-hmm. they use the ingredient list, so the excipient list or ingredient list, it'll list things, but it won't say aborted fetal tissue necessarily. So this one would say MRC-5. Mm-hmm. There's different ones. WII38, I think it's WI or WII. I didn't write that one down, but by memory, there's so the MRC5 one was they got the fetal cell lines, I think, out of the lungs of that aborted baby, mm-hmm. and he was 14 weeks gestational age, and that was the boy that was replicated over and over and over, and the other thing about this CHADOX1-6 is the COVID shot, this particular one, it says recumbent, and that has a potential to be something really creepy too, in addition to the aborted fetus stuff, is molecular cloning, in that they are creating sequences that would not otherwise be found in the genome. So that's something that we don't know enough about. We don't know what's going to happen when we inject ourselves with that.
Correct. No, the WII38, as you mentioned, does come. It's from fibroblast tissue, which is in the lungs. And that was from a 3-month-old aborted fetus. That was a female fetus. And it was isolated way back in the 60s. And like you said, it continues to replicate. And that is what they have used in vaccines from then on. And as far as specifically, you were mentioning what they call ChAdOX1. And randomization of immunization and human tissue, it does pose a problem. It is randomized, yet they think it's controlled. It's not controlled. We don't know how it's going to react in the body. We don't know the long-term effects or the short-term effects. You know, there has not been enough research done on it or these topics specifically. And so we need to be careful. Just because we are cognizant and we research things doesn't mean people are conspiracy theorists. It means they're intelligent. And I think that more people do need to look into things and figure out what's going, you know, into their body and be more aware, especially what's going into their kids' body. So, no, we appreciate your phone call. We appreciate you doing research. And we want to encourage everybody that it is not a bad thing to look into things. And it's not... You're not going to be labeled as a conspiracy theorist because you might be an anti-vaxxer, or maybe you're not an anti-vaxxer at all. You just want to know what's going in your body. I think that's a wise decision to make for yourself and your family. Daryl, your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I think everything that we're dealing with medically, we need to research and make sure that it's something that's not going to harm us. They're trying to get this vaccine out as quickly as possible, which is concerning. But at the same time, they're trying to get everyone to stay healthy and so forth. You know, viruses will run their course. This is running its course. It's a deadly one. It especially affects those who are elderly, those with immune deficiencies. And so I think let's dive in and find out what is in this vaccine before we put it into our bodies to protect ourselves from further harm down the road. We don't exactly know, especially for our children. So I think it's just wisdom, you know, and we need to figure this out. So, you know, time is going to tell, but let's keep dissecting this thing and find out what's going on. And no, you're not a conspiratist, if you will, theorist and so forth. No, you're just a concerned citizen trying to find out, do I want this in my body or not?
Correct.
We need to maintain that freedom.
We do need to maintain that freedom. It's funny because, you know, we all watch those commercials during the Super Bowl or maybe on TV where it says, if you have, you know, headaches, take this pill. And then for the next like 45 seconds, it lists every single side effect known to man, including death.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, you know, you're going to go blind, your arm's going to fall off, you're going to go deaf, you know, and it sometimes we need to be smart. Is the solution worse than the problem? And that's no different in vaccinations, you know, not to laugh about it, but that's the truth. It's no different than any vaccination. We just need to be aware of what we're putting in our body. We need to be cognizant of the things we're putting into our children's body, and we mm-hmm. need to move forward and just try to be healthier. you know, just try to be healthy people so we don't have to depend on so many things to keep us alive. Thank you, Deborah, for calling in. We appreciate it. If you stay on with us, we'll get you a couple of books and CVDs and or CDs and DVDs to help you, maybe in your evangelism efforts or witness to people. But we appreciate your call. Let's go to Marcus from Wyoming. Hi, and welcome, Marcus.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. So I was listening to your guys' program, and I just heard from one of the previous individuals, Rick, his questions is regarding race and kind of the dilemma as it presents itself to us here in the U.S. And as a black man, I actually have been reading this Christian book by daughter of a pastor called Jasmonelle Holmes, and the book being entitled Mother to Son, Letters to a Black Boy on Identity and Hope. And in this book, she happens to kind of give a very poignant answer to why it's such a challenging issue for us today. And just in response to his question, I mean, it really resonated when I had read it, and I just felt the need to be able to share it with you guys, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
So to paraphrase what she says a bit, she says, you will often hear someone say race is just a social construct in response to issues of identity and ethnicity. But that same person will go on to cite statistics about how black fatherlessness breeds black criminality. Race does not matter until it can be used to lambast the black community for its shortcomings. You see, race is a social construct, and it also matters. Not in the sense that it changes the core of who you are, that it is hidden in your identity as an image bearer of the Most High God, but it will always matter in these kind of political conversations. As a black man, from the left, they will wonder why you've chosen a path so different from other people who look like you, while the right wants you because the comparative lack of black volume will make you even more dynamic. And to wrap it up, she states, this is what it has meant for us to be both black and American. This is what it means to be a citizen here on earth and a citizen in heaven. My son, I want you to be shrewd, careful, and to guard your party affiliation carefully beneath the shadow of the cross. Donkeys and elephants be hanged, because that's the only allegiance that offers a roadmap out of the mire of the political mess we've made. And so with that, you know, racism and ethnicity is definitely a challenging issue that we have today, you know, but it's a very complex thing. And you know, when I'd read this, it really just kind of highlighted why this issue keeps seeming to come up over and over, and we can't just seem to simply escape it. So I just want to share that.
No, we appreciate you sharing that, and it is a sensitive topic, as we mentioned to the previous caller, and it's not as easily dismissed as one might think. And again, there's deep, deep roots to internal traumas and problems and cultural identifications. But we're not going to continue to be able to fight racism if we keep using it as an scapegoat for everything. And I think that's the purpose of what we're trying to say, is that when something happens specifically, we can't just say a woman, you know, got in an argument with another woman. We have to say a black woman got in an argument with a white woman or an Asian woman. We always have to identify that person by their skin color. Not a woman who was 5'8 attacked a woman who was 5'2, not a blonde attacked a brunette, but a black woman and a white woman got in a fight, or a black man was shot by a white police officer. And it seems that the narrative, you're right, the political parties do flip narratives a lot, and it can be an issue depending on what political party you're with. But the narrative is always flipped one specific way. And that's what the news is trying to do. They're trying to create a cultural war. In essence, they're trying to create a civil war and sow discord amongst us so we stay captivated by our hate. We stay captivated by dismay and discord and being discouraged, all the bad D words. And we can't move past it, because they always make it the center of everything. And the issue is, really at hand, it's not the center of everything. It doesn't matter if a black cop shot a white guy or a white cop shot a black guy. It doesn't matter if the drug dealer was Asian or the drug dealer was Russian. We choose to make these problems and perpetuate our own issues. We choose to let it be the catalyst for all things, which breeds more hatred. That's the point. Daryl, your thoughts?
Well, you know, as Christians, Satan is the master divider. He is the master of chaos. He's the master of destruction. And we have to realize the spiritual warfare that we're in as believers in Christ. And as you're talking about, we're children of God, all of us together. And, you know, there's no room for prejudice or bigotry within the heart of a born-again Christian, of a believer in Christ. We have to reach out to one another. And Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. We have to make peace with one another. Now, we're dealing with a vicious world right now. There's a lot of viciousness in our country. And no, not everybody's believers. So we have to recognize that. Jesus said, be wise as a serpent, yet gentle as a dove. In other words, be wise to what Satan is doing in our country. Be gentle about it. We're not going to, you know, pick up our weapons and go and start killing people by any means. But we're going to be wise to it. And we're going to try to bring that peace. We're going to make peace to the best of our abilities with who will allow us to make peace with them. And race is not an issue for the Christian believer. We're, as Paul said, we're all of one blood in the book of Acts. He described us all of one blood. I thought it was a great expression. We all have that same red blood within us. And it's what God has given us, the blood of life, as well as the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We need to have that peace.
Amen. Amen. Marcus, thank you for calling in. We're going to a break, and we will be right back after this.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for healthcare. And here's why. Not only is it time for open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For the typical family, switching to MediShare saves about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people. Think what you could do with that. But if you join right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. So that's another $170 you'll save. And MediShare is really different. It's a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills. More than 400,000 people are members, and they've shared over $4 billion in medical bills. So, yes, they can handle your bills, too. This may be the time to make the switch. Join before November 30th for the additional savings. It's so easy to find out more. They're great to talk to. In fact, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Here's the number. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
Hi, friends. Pastor Chapin from Calvary Chapel University with really, really great news for you. Calvary Chapel University is now fully accredited. That's right, fully accredited through TRACS, a national accrediting agency. If you're interested in completing or starting your 100% online college degree, go to calvarychapeluniversity.com and apply today. Calvary Chapel University is not only online, but it's sound doctrinally and 100% based on the Word of God. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.com to get your fully accredited college degree. One other blessing. If you apply between now and the end of December, you will get a 50% off tuition scholarship. That's half off your entire college degree for your entire college degree. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.com, apply today, and Pamela and Donna will be happy to help you. Oh, one other thing. Pastor Skip Heitzig is now a faculty member, and he's teaching actively at Calvary Chapel University. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.com and apply today.
You're dialed in to the Christian Satellite Network. We're broadcasting on hundreds of stations nationwide, including multiple stations in North and South Carolina. You can listen while in Charleston, Myrtle Beach, Eden, the Winston-Salem area, and many more great cities throughout North and South Carolina. To find your closest station, log online to csnradio.com, and you can listen live 24/7 worldwide. CSN International, where God's Word is heard.
This is KAWZ Twin Falls. The Christian Satellite Network.
Hi, and welcome back to Every Man an Answer, the third segment. I'm here with Pastor Daryl Skinner from Hawaii, answering your Bible questions, things that you might be concerned with that are going on in your church, maybe things that you hear on this program you don't hear in church, or maybe just general questions about what's going on in the world today. We're happy to be here on this Thursday and discussing all the topics that we've been discussing today, from vaccinations, from COVID-19 to racism, and the Bible. We're going to go to our next caller, which is Rose from Victorville, California. Rose, hi and welcome.
Hi, I'm glad you answered. I've got a general question for you, but one that's deeply troubling to me. I have a granddaughter who's 13. Kind of background is she comes from a divorce home, lives with her mom who's remarried. Her father is not a believer in God at all. And what has gone on is that yesterday we were talking about God, and I kind of have them over once or twice a week, and she was stating that God hates gays. Mm. And are you there?
Yes, we are.
Oh, good. Thank you. But also that God hates gays, and that the word for homosexuality was actually not transcribed right. It wasn't supposed to be gay. It was supposed to be something else, so it wasn't supposed to be homosexuality. And that the transcription of the Bible was false in many places. I tried, and we did used to be able to take her to children's church, but for the last 5 years, we haven't been able to do that at all with them. But it was very difficult in the fact that she was telling me, and she's had a class in debating, so she just kept on that one issue of the transcription is wrong. Transcription is wrong. There's no such word as gay in the Bible, et cetera, et cetera. I finally asked her what the word gay meant, and even she didn't know that. So she's, well, we're in California, and it's public school, so a grain of salt there. But I didn't know what resources or anything to bring into the situation, so I wanted some help.
Sure. Daryl, your thoughts?
You know, we're living in a culture where they're being brainwashed that the Bible is not real, it's not true, or you can't trust what the Bible says, or that you can pretty much live any way you want and we're all going to just go to heaven. Well, if there's no sin, then why send a Savior to die a bloody death upon the cross? Why would God send his own Son to die a bloody death on the cross if there's no sin within mankind? Now, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, and maybe you can share this with her if you haven't already. It says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? That means you're not living according to the right ways of God. And then says, do not be deceived. And the literal Greek translation for that is stop being deceived. Neither fornicators, any kind of sex outside the bonds of marriage, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. We know that is a husband having sex with someone who's not his wife, a wife having sex with someone who's not her husband, right? Nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So it's important for her to realize as, you know, there's sin in the world. There's sin in all of us, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we need to repent of our sins. The first words out of John the Baptist was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. First words out of Jesus after he was baptized was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The first words out of Peter, as he preached his first sermon on the day of Pentecost, he said, repent from this perverse generation and be saved. Well, if there's really nothing to repent of, why am I called to repent? If there's no sin, there's no sexual immorality. The Bible constantly says, it talks about there's sex, the sin of sexual immorality. And so this has to be explained to your daughter. There's sin in the world. Part of that sin is sexual immorality. And what is God's plan? The plan is you go to the law first mentioned, the book of Genesis. God created man and woman and brought them together as one and let no man separate. That's what God has designed. That is his righteousness, his right ways for humanity. And we cannot go against it. As we have gone against it, we repent and we return to it. So this is the key for explaining this to her. But right now she's being brainwashed, indoctrinated with the culture that you can pretty much live your life any way you want. And if she wants to believe in God, then God will just take you to heaven. It's okay. No, we have to repent of our sins. Jesus requires that. And hopefully that's helping you out.
Does that answer your question, Rose?
What?
Does that answer
your
question?
Does that help you out, Rose?
Well, that answers some of it, except that she's 13, and I know she's indoctrinated, but at this moment, she's closed her mind entirely to anything in the Bible because she has been told that nothing in the Bible is true because the transcriptions are false. And I don't know. And
I always ask them, well, tell me where it's false. Show me. And then you can do your research. You're not going to find the word gay. You find homosexuality. You find sodomites. You find Jesus said the judgment that came upon Sodom and Gomorrah. You find the times of Noah, which was full of all kinds of sexual immorality. And so that's where you ask her, well, what do you think sexual immorality is? And trying to discover, well, if the Bible talks against sexual immorality, what is sexual immorality? For example, in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, it says, verse 8, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So how do we define sexual immorality? What is the meaning thereof? Well, God wants us to be a moral people, one man married to one woman. That's what he wants. And if you've gone into any lifestyle, we can repent of that lifestyle and get right with God and live for God. But we're not going to be manipulated by the culture. We are to live for God according to what he is, how he's designed us. And I always challenge those in the want to defend homosexuality. Okay, let's follow your logic. All men marry men, all women marry women, and what happens to the human race? It becomes extinct. So you can see even nature itself is against that type of ideology. Is that helping you out, Rose?
Yeah, it is.
And
excuse me, I think where I'm stuttering is that adult to adult, I could handle part of this. You know, with scripture and references. She's not Christian schooled enough to be anything but light and the approachment. Plus, she's 13 and a girl, and she's just got a very closed mind. I was hoping for some resources where maybe I could have them laying around my house or something and be referencing to them. I offered her $100 to look up the word gay and talk to me about it. And she went off and closed herself off into a little room for an hour. Mm. She's just.
So if your issue is bringing the Bible to her to authenticate itself, I can see how that's a problem. If we're trying to use scripture for her to understand specifically that scripture is correct, and someone who doesn't want to believe scripture is correct at all, rightfully so, circular reasoning, they're just not going to believe it. If you're wanting to authenticate the word of God to her so then she's open to actually discussing what it says with you, there's many ways that the Bible has been authenticated. And if, I don't know how computer savvy you are, but if you do a Google search on the Dead Sea Scrolls, and when they found, and I believe, and maybe Daryl can correct me on this, it was the book of Isaiah, the scroll was exactly the same as what we have transcribed in the Bible today. And so over time, not only were there other works of maybe historians or theologians, people like Josephus maybe, that authenticate things historically that were written in the Bible. There's archaeological evidence of things that were in the Bible. So there's many ways from a logical perspective, if that's what she's looking for, you can help authenticate to her the trueness of the Bible being the most accurate book that we have. And then once maybe you break down that barrier from that educational standpoint, she will be more open specifically to listening to what the Word of God has to say. But if you refer strictly just to Romans 1 even, and you yourself do a study in Romans, but you focus primarily in Romans 1, and you even go Romans 1 verse 26, it says, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with the lusts for one another. It doesn't necessarily have to say the word gay, and even, as Daryl said, it does say homosexual in a lot of verses of the Bible, but it even gives explanation for what that means. So once you help her understand that from that logical educational perspective, even starting in a place like Romans 1 might significantly help her and open that conversation with you to her. That maybe she might understand further. Does that help?
Oh, terrifically. That's basically, since we started voting, I've been in Roman 1.
Well, there you go.
You know, right through the whole thing. It's been very terrifically, God has educated me through this time quite a bit on that.
Praise God.
So that helps. I think I was just so surprised by the status of the family, I think. So I have more work to do than I thought.
Hey, Rose, if I could add one last thing for you to maybe help you out on your own. There's a good website. It's called Always Be Ready Apologetics Ministry. And it talks about evidence of the Bible from Norman Geisler and others, great theologian, and also it has various topics dealing with homosexuality and so forth. So it's Always Be Ready Apologetics Ministry. So you can pull that up on your computer, and you're going to have just a boatload of information there and scriptural references, and I think that'll help you out, okay?
And Rose, why don't we pray for her before we Amen. Let you off, you know, specifically because we know that the God of this world has blinded her specifically and there's a veil over her preventing her
it's
from really seeing what's going on. And it is a tough age. There's a lot of things going on. There's peer pressure. There's hormones. There's the condition of our current fallen world. And so we can lift her up in prayer together corporately if you don't mind. Does that sound good to you?
Oh, it would be wonderful.
Wonderful. Well, open. No problem.
Yes.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you, Father, in spirit and truth, worshiping you, knowing you that you are the one true God. And Lord, that all things that we bring to you, Lord, that ultimately within your will, they will be answered. And so we lift up this young 13-year-old girl, Father, that you would open her eyes, that the veil would be removed from her, that she would be able to see things through the lens of the biblical worldview, Father, that you've inherently planned for us to be able to see things through. Lord, that you would remove the spiritual warfare going on around her, that you would protect her and shield her and send your angels to do warfare for her on her behalf where she is unable to do so. Lord, that any spiritual wickedness would be bound and that she would be able to fully understand what is being taught to her. And you would give this wonderful woman, Rose, the ability to speak to her and minister to her, that the words that would come out of her mouth would touch this little girl, Father, that would break down those walls and soften her heart to the things of you and of Scripture, and that this would not only build their relationship, Lord, but ultimately come to the salvation of this child. So we lift this up to you. We know that you are good, and you wish that none would perish, but all would come to you and be with you in your kingdom. And so we pray for these things by the power and the name and the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Rose, for that call. Hopefully that helps, and we pray that you would be blessed and God would allow you to do what he's called you to do and continue to minister to this little one. Thank you for calling.
Ministry, listen every day. Thank you.
Thank you, Rose. We're going to take a Facebook question actually right now. We've had a few of them, and this one specifically is in regards to the Dead Sea Scrolls, which we just mentioned a little bit earlier. And the question is, Daryl, are the Dead Sea Scrolls strong evidence that Israel belongs to the Jews since they are in mostly Hebrew and historic information relates to the Jewish settlers? Your thoughts?
Well, absolutely. As we look to the Dead Sea Scrolls, as you look to the book of Isaiah, we know that from history, biblical history, that Israel's been founded by, you know, from the Jewish faith, from Abraham, and then all the way through King David and Saul, and David, and then Solomon. And the nation of Israel existed in human history. We know that Jerusalem is a city of the great king, according to the Holy Scriptures. And so when we look to the Dead Scrolls and the evidence thereof, whether it be the history that's found in those scrolls or it be the book of Isaiah and others, all pointing towards the existence of Israel as a nation, as a people, and as a land. And so, yeah, it's very strong. So hopefully that helps out.
Yeah, Susie, thank you for that Facebook question. We're glad that we could answer that for you. And hopefully if you have any more questions, you can message us and we'll get to them as soon as we are able. We're going to take our next phone call, which is Mike from Odessa, Texas. Mike, hi and welcome.
Hello. Thank you for accepting my call.
No problem. How can we help?
Being a pastor, you know, I have questions myself that I don't have any answers to. So my question is, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35, all the way to 58, it talks about the people in Christ, the people that died in Christ, how their bodies are going to be transformed to a glorified spiritual body. That is correct, right?
Correct.
Yes.
So my question is, the dead. You know, according to Revelations, it says, then I saw a great white throne in chapter 20 of Revelations 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. Then I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were open. But my question is, how do the dead arrive? Do they arrive with their bodies as they were in the coffin?
Daryl,
what kind of bodies are they going to have?
God is going to prepare them a body that's going to be made for eternal punishment. And people will be judged for all their sins. Right now, when people die without God, without the Lord Jesus Christ, faith in God, they go to Hades, a place of torment. Jesus talks about this in Luke chapter 16. And so we see the historical event of the poor beggar dying and Lazarus, as well as the rich man. And Lazarus, of course, goes to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man goes to a place of torment. He says, have Lazarus dip his finger in some water, put it on my tongue, for I'm being tormented continuously. So we find that there's this existence of individuals in the afterlife. Of course, all believers now in Jesus Christ, we immediately go to heaven. We're not going to go to Abraham's bosom. Paul says, be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. The Lord's at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for all believers. So we're going to go to heaven. But yet all non-believers are in Hades. And then they're going to be pulled out of Hades, the dead. They're dead spiritually. They're going to be brought forth before the great white throne judgment of God, as you just read in Revelation 20, and they'll be judged for their sins. And then they'll be given a body that's going to be cast into the lake of fire. And that body will be eternally tormented because of the rejection of God, rejection of Jesus Christ. It's a place of outer darkness. It's a place of weeping and wailing, gnashing of teeth. So those noises will be heard, but no one can see in each other. And it's a place of torment, a place of burning, because it's a lake of fire, and it's because of their rejection of God. And it's important for us always to realize when people will ultimately find themselves in the lake of fire, which we commonly call hell, they would have asked Jesus to be crucified over and over and over and over again if they lived a billion years, okay? They will have never changed. Sometimes people think, well, maybe they would change. No, they will never have changed, okay? It is their heart to be rebellious against God, to reject God, and to see Christ crucified. And that will always take place within their hearts, and they're judged for all their sins. They rejected the work of the Holy Spirit, the law of God written on their hearts. They rejected the message of Jesus Christ, our Lord. They rejected everything there is about God. They rebelled against him, and thus they're going to be judged, and they'll be given this new body that will be cast into that place of torment. I hand it over to Shannon. Shannon?
Well, that was very well said, Mike. I hope that helps.
Yeah, it does. It really does clarify it very, very well. But I got a second question, if I may.
Sure.
Okay. You know, the babies that are not yet unaccountable, when they die, they go to heaven, right?
Yes, we would say so. God is a just God, a loving God, and there's what's known as what we call the age of accountability, and it's debated on what age that might be. But when the little ones pass, God says in the scriptures, God is not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. He doesn't want people to perish. He didn't cause us to perish. He loves us so much, he sent his son to die a bloody death upon the cross. And so with the precious little ones, God will take care of business with that. He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. He's a God of grace and goodness. And that's who he is. And so we just trust the Lord for that.
And that premise, Mike, is exactly why the Calvinist doctrine doesn't hold water biblically. So that's just my two cents on that. Daryl, that was wonderful. I just had to throw that in there. Mike, I hope that helps.
I wanted to know about the babies that are aborted. You know, the babies that are aborted while still in the womb. My question is, how do they arrive in heaven? As a baby or as an embryo?
God's going to do something to us when we're all in heaven. You know, while I get there at my age that I am now, which is about 22. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, good for 22. I'm not going to tell you how old I am then.
But what age will we look like when we get to heaven? And the babies too, because they're not going to be babies forever in heaven. So when they arrive, we're going to be radically changed. We're going to be glorified. We're going to get a brand new body. We're all going to know each other. We're all going to rejoice with each other.
No diets.
And we're all going to be at some certain age. I'm not exactly sure what.
Okay.
Does that help you out, my friend?
Yes, it does. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike. We appreciate it. Stay on the line and we'll get you maybe some books and some CDs and DVDs that might help you with your ministry. Let's go to Janine.
Keep up the good work.
That's right. Keep up the good work. God bless you. Janine from California. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Wonderful. How are you, Janine?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Great. How can we help you today?
Well, my girlfriend and I had a discussion the other night, and we were wondering what happens to us who are raptured and taken up to heaven. What happens to our bodies? I seem to think that they are raptured out, and my girlfriend seems to think that our bodies are left on the earth. Can you help us with that question?
You're on this body roll, Daryl. Go ahead. You're up.
Well, I'll tell you what, Paul writes the following for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. We'll begin there. Behold, I tell you a mystery. I love mysteries, right? But let's find out what's going to happen. He says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment. That word moment means an atom of time. Mm-hmm. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. A metamorphosis will take place. For this corruptible will put on incorruption. This mortal will put on immortality. So when this corruption is put on incorruption, this mortal is put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, Hades, where's your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I had to read the whole passage just to get to that because I love that part. We're going to be glorified. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about us groaning in this old tent, which is our body. And we're going to get this new tent that's going to be made for the heavens and for eternity. And also it's made to come back to earth because we're going to be reigning and ruling with Christ for 1,000 years. And then we'll head off to the new heavens and new earth and new Jerusalem. But in the rapture, our bodies are going to be transformed into that glorified body immediately. I can't wait. No wrinkles, no gray hair, no need to diet, no disease. Uh-huh. It's going to be perfect, man. God has promised us this. Our bodies right now are subject to this sinful mess that we're in from the Garden of Eden. And we're going to unload this, if you will, this caterpillar of a body. and be transformed into that beautiful. I'm not saying we're going to be butterflies, but you know what I'm talking about.
You know what I was just going to say? I was going to use the same analogy, a caterpillar to a butterfly. You just took it right out of my mouth.
There you go.
Janine, we hope that helps.
Yes. Can you please give me that passage? And I would like to sit down with her and show her.
Sure. 2 Corinthians chapter 15. Begin with verse 51 through the end of the chapter.
Janine, hopefully that helps. You'll be able to sit down with her. We thank you for listening to this broadcast. It was wonderful as always. May God bless every single one of you. And until tomorrow, be blessed and good night.
God bless.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.
The preceding program was brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.